Well, good morning. Hope everybody is enjoying their feast. Hard to believe it's day six already. I put my suit on before I got here and it fit. That was 6 days ago. Got a little bit of work to do when I go home. I know Mr. Light asked a couple of days ago about the weather. He says, we've had unusually warm weather. He says, I wonder why. And I was sitting in the back going, that was me. So praying for a little warmth here from a Florida boy. It is nice to be here. I'd like to thank Mr. Light and everybody that's served during the feast. I know we've said this time and time again. It takes a lot of work and a lot of hands, and I'm so grateful to have the opportunity to serve everybody as well. Just a quick show of hands. How many in this room know the name Derek Redman, besides my wife? Derek Redman was born in 1965, and during his career, he held the British record for the 400-meter sprint, and he won the gold medal in the 4x400-meter relay and world championships and European championships. So he was a runner. At the 1992 Olympic Games in Barcelona, Derek was favored to win the gold medal. Derek had worked his whole entire life to get to the point where he was, hours of practicing and sacrificed just so that he could be the best in his sport. And I did some math on this, and I figured if an athlete trained for 4 hours a day for 4 years, that's the length of time between Olympic Games, he would have practiced a total of 243 days for a race that would have lasted less than 10 seconds. It's pretty remarkable. As he started the race and he got into starting blocks, no doubt all these things went through his mind. He was focused on that finish line and not just finishing the race, but winning it. And as the gun sounded, Derek began his race and he quickly jumped out to a lead as he rounded the turn. Then something terrible happened. Derek tore his hamstring in two and he collapsed to the track. He had to sit there and watch the other 7 competitors run past him and finish their race. You know, Derek got up and he started hobbling to the finish line. Derek had no chance of winning. He probably didn't even have any chance to even race again in his life. But he knew he had to keep going. Suddenly, there was a man that came out of the stands and he barreled through security, got out on the track, put his arm around this young man, and they both crossed the finish line. In tears, they both finished with over 65,000 people watching and millions more watching from television. That man was Derek's father. You know, Derek may have finished in last place that day, but Derek did endure and finished his race. How about us, brethren? Will we have what it takes to finish our race? You know, the Feast of Tabernacles pictures a wonderful time where God's kingdom begins here on this earth. By that time, Satan would have been put away. We would have been changed to spirit beings. So really, the feast begins with those that are coming out of the tribulation, being taught God's truth. The question is, will we be there to help? If you like a title for my message today, it's simply, Do You Have What It Takes to Endure to the End? So what does it mean to endure? The dictionary definition means to sustain without yielding, or to continue to exist, or to support adverse force or influence of any kind. The Greek is interesting because it means to stay under, or to remain, or to bear trials, which we all here in this room, I'm sure, know a thing or two about. But it also means to persevere or to take patiently. You know, enduring isn't easy, is it? Enduring is something that's painful and sometimes unpleasant. Endurance is actually a verb because it takes a lot of work, doesn't it? It takes a lot of work to endure. Let's go to John chapter 14. Because guess what? We can't do this by ourselves, can we? We cannot finish this race by ourselves. John 14, we'll read verses 15 through 18. Because God gives us some help. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know, it's remarkable. When I got up here, I was worried that somebody was going to, you know, just give over all my scriptures for the message here on the sixth day. And it happened. And that's okay. Because it all fits together. Because we did hear about those commandments from the head to the toe. He says, and I will pray to the Father, and he'll give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and you with him, and you and will be in you. Verse 18 says, I will not leave you orphans. That word means I will, that word also means comfortless. He says, I will come to you. What a remarkable blessing that God gives us some extra help to be able to get us across that finish line. Dropping down to verse 26, it talks about what this is. He says, but the helper, or the comforter, or the parakletos, as it is in the Greek, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will bring all things to remembrance. All things I have said to you. You know, he gives us help, brethren, because we are fighting something that we can't see. We're fighting a spiritual battle. I mean, even if it was a physical battle, we probably still wouldn't stand a chance. But try to fight something that you can't see. And we're all fighting for our spiritual lives. We're all fighting to get to that point where we can reign and rule with Christ in God's kingdom. And the adversary is after our crowns, and he is literally doing everything he can to make you quit and stop running. So what is it that's going to stop you from running your race? You know, the synonym for the word endure means to stand, support, or suffer. But I've also found that the opposite of a word sometimes actually means more to me than what the actual word itself means. Because the opposite means to fail or to die. So if we're not enduring, if we're not persevering, if we're not bearing through trials patiently, then we're failing, we're dying. Derek Redmond, going back to that story, knew that he had to finish that race. I mean, he already lost. And there was no chance for him to win any medals. But he had to finish. It was something inside of him that just wanted him to keep going. Have we dedicated our lives to God? Do we have that same passion and commitment on a daily basis to keep moving forward? Again, as we go through these feasts and these festivals, which is what pictures the time where we'll be doing this forever, or are we focused on the things that are going to set us back? Again, we have to dedicate ourselves to God. But let's go to Romans chapter 6. As I build through this message, I want to take a look at our calling, because in order to be there, there's something that we have to do. There is a part that we have to play. Romans 6, I'll read verses 1 through 8. And it's great that we have the scriptures up on the screen. I thank you for the gentlemen that are doing that. Romans 6, verse 1. It says, what say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How then shall we who die to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many as of us that were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death, just as Jesus Christ had reigned from the dead of the glory of the Father, even though we should walk in newness of life. That word newness means a new direction. Because every single person in this room did run their race. We're running their race before they were called. You know what the problem was? We were running in the wrong direction. But God had to set us straight. He put us on the right path. He says, I need you to do things differently. Verse 5, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Brethren, that's hope. That's something this world doesn't have. Is that we have something so much forward to look to. We have something so much to look forward to. at the end of that race when we receive our crowns. Knowing this, verse 6, that our old man or old woman was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. And we become slaves of sin when we stop running our race. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Again, brethren, we have to continue to run the race. And the end result is just as important as the effort that we put into it. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Again, it's like those athletes who trained. Only we need to train 24/7. We need to be living like we're already in God's kingdom. 1 Corinthians 9, I'll read verses 24 through 27. The Apostle Paul here is talking about the Isthmus Games. If I'm saying that correctly, probably not. But it was a race that was run events that were done every 2 years, similar to the Olympics that were done every 4 years. But he says here in verse 24 in 1 Corinthians 9, he says, "Do you not know that all who run in a race run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it." Again, we have to keep running. And sometimes it's not easy, is it? We'll talk about that in a minute. "And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things." That word temperate means to exercise self-control. Again, we have a part to play. We have to make sure that we are going to be with those who are coming out of the tribulation and teaching them. They'll have an opportunity to finish that race. Will we? He says, "Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown. Derek Redmond was doing it for a gold medal. But we for an imperishable crown." Something that I can't wait to get. Something that's right in front of us if we just finish. If we just continue to move forward. "Therefore I run, not with uncertainty." We need to be sure of what we're doing. "Then I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. You know, brethren, God expects us to finish the race, not just start it. He didn't call us to just start running. Every single one of us in this room is a finisher. And as we go through in life, we will encounter obstacles. We've heard that already in some of the messages. And it's not all rainbows and unicorns. It's not an easy walk. Some of the obstacles are put there by Satan because he wants to trip us up. He wants us to lay down our crown and give up. Bottom line, he hates us. Some obstacles we put there ourselves. I'm subject enemy number one. I have an emoji on my phone with a gun that shoots to a foot. Because I do it all the time. Right? I think I can do it myself. I don't need anybody's help. And off we go to the trouble land. Some obstacles God puts there for us to allow us to build our strength, to be able to have that character so that we can finish. Let me ask you a question. You don't have to answer. Just think about this. Think back to this last year. How hard was it for you to endure? What did you have to go through this past year that would have made you give up and lay down your crown? My wife and I haven't been home for over 2 weeks. We left our home in Tampa on the last hurricane, went to flee to my son's house in Nashville. Of course, my grandkids are there, so it wasn't too bad of a trip. But we packed our car with literally everything that we thought was important to us and thought that we would never come back to anything. You know, that could have kept me from coming to the feast this year. But I'm here. And so are you. No matter what you went through this past year, you're sitting in this room rejoicing and keeping God's feast. What a blessing. And thank you for that. God again wants us to move forward. Mr. Light gave a message on his first day, quoted Jeremiah 7:24, where it talks about Israel, how they went backwards and not forwards. We have to remember to never quit. There's a basketball coach by the name of Jim Valvano. In 1993, he gave a speech as he was battling cancer. He started a foundation for cancer research, and he gave these famous words in this speech. He says, "Don't give up. Don't ever give up." Every time I hear that, I get chills down my back because I know that that's what we need to be doing, moving forward. Enduring helps us to build character because it's literally the only thing that we're going to take with us in God's kingdom. Let's go to Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25. This is an interesting parable because it's one that I never thought about in this light before I gave this message. But it talks about two groups of people, one who endured and one who didn't. I'm going to read verses 1 through 13. This is the parable of the 10 virgins. It says, "The kingdom of heaven will be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. We are the 10 virgins, and we know Christ is the bridegroom." And for the analogy of this message, I'm going to liken this to 10 runners starting a race on the starting line. "Five of them were wise, five of them were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps." Again, I picture those 10 runners on the line. Five of them were ready to run, and five of them weren't. "But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard. Bang! That starting gun went off. And they were off running. He says, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." And all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." They tore their hamstring in two, and they were laying there on the track because they didn't have enough in their spiritual tanks to keep them moving forward. But the wise answered and said, "No, lest there not be enough for us and you, but rather go to those that buy and sell for yourselves." You know, when I read this the first time, I was like, how selfish. They're just going to let him go? Right? But you know what, brethren? God gives us his spirit to those who obey him. We can't give God's spirit to somebody else. He puts that in us for us to finish our race, for us to help encourage others to finish their race, but we can't make them finish their race, can we? "And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those that were ready went in him to the wedding, and the door was shut. And afterwards the other virgins came to him, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But the race was already finished. And he answered, and he said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you.'" He says, "Watch therefore," or keep enduring, keep running, "because you know neither the day nor the hour which the Son of Man is coming." Again, brethren, I can't stress this enough, that enduring to the end and finishing our race depends on our spiritual lives, depend on that. And failure is not an option. You could put in your notes Matthew 24:13 says that those who endure to the end will be saved. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Because it's easy to give up, isn't it? To some extent. I mean, I think about Derek Redmond. There would have been no shame for that man to have laid there on that track, have somebody come with a stretcher and take him away. But he didn't, did he? He hobbled to the finish line because he had to finish his race. Hebrews chapter 12, We'll start in verse 1. This is a continuation of the faith chapter in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 12:1, he says, "Therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and run the race with endurance." Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Barnes note says this about the weight or the burden. It says there's an allusion here, doubtless, to the runners in the games who were careful to not encumber themselves with anything that was heavy. And they were careful in their training not to overburden themselves with food in any way. Which I thought was interesting that, and I look at that as a spiritual comparison, that what are we still holding on to that's slowing us down to prohibit us from us finishing our race? And Christ says in Matthew to lay it on Him. Put that burden on Him and let Him carry that for us. Because He's right there along with us, helping us along the way. Verse 2 says, looking to Jesus, or fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus, that is the tape, as they call it, that yellow line that the runners run across when they finish their race. That's the finish line. He says, keep my eyes on me, Jesus says. Look to that finish line. Don't worry about what's going on around you. Remember Peter, when he got out of the boat? Peter's my brother from another mother. All right? Peter and I go hand in hand. I love Peter because Peter's body wrote checks that he couldn't cash, right? But he walked on water. He did something that nobody else in this room or in this earth has ever done. He did it until he took his eyes off Christ. And brethren, when we're running our race, when we take our eyes off that finish line, we're going to go 7 miles to the right, and it's going to be a long detour back. Because I've been there. Verse 3. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against themselves, lest you be wearied and be discouraged in your souls. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. Christ is right there. Again, none of us in this room had to die and be crucified. And Christ says, I set the example for you so that you can do it yourselves. He gives us the help. He gives us the Spirit. Sometimes we have to endure things, again, that are very painful, and it's not easy to go through a trial. Some of you may be dealing with those things right now. You may not be having a job when you go back home because you kept the feast. Or you have problems with your school or your marriage or something that's going on in your life. But whatever the trial is, God says, look to Him and cast your burden on Him and quit trying to figure it out yourself. Proverbs 3, verse 5, you could put this in your notes. I'm getting to the end here. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. You know, I bring this up because I started coming to church when I was 5 years old. And when I was 20, I decided that this wasn't the way for me. And I stopped coming. And for the next 20 years of my life, I spent my life laying on the track, watching others walk by. And so, I say this to you because I wasn't proud of the things that I did, but I am living proof that if a thick-headed, skulled Italian guy like myself can get back up and finish, so can you. So whatever you're dealing with in your life, keep moving forward. Because it does get better. I can promise you that. Verse 6 in Proverbs 3 says, and in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. That path, that straight and narrow path that leads to God's kingdom. God says, if you stay on that road, do your best, because none of us are perfect. And if you think you are, well, You're not. God loves everybody, and he wants us all to finish. He loves us. We're his children. We've heard about this already in several of the messages. And he knows that we can all finish. He didn't call quitters. He called winners. He called finishers. That's you and me. I have 2 points, really short, on how we can endure to the end. Number one, remember and practice the fundamentals. You know, every athlete, including Derek Redmond, practice their fundamentals every day. Stretching, breathing, you know, strengthening. You know, there's an old saying that practice makes perfect. Yeah, perfect practice makes perfect. So we got to keep getting better at what we're doing. But we still have to try. You know, our race is no different. The fundamentals, prayer, right? What a wonderful tool that we have to be able to go to God and tell him anything and everything. Now, look, he knows what we're already thinking, right? But he wants us to ask. He wants us to come to him and talk to him, have a relationship with him. Tell him how hard it is for you to go through what you're dealing with right now in your life. I did. Bible study. Make sure you have God talk to you. Open up your Bible. I've always said you can't learn anything by putting the Bible up against your thick skull. You actually got to open up and read it. Ask God for the understanding. And you know, every time I read this book, I learn something new. Meditation. Take time to think about what lies ahead for us. Think about the positive things that are out there. Because there's so much negative today in our world that takes us away from what's important. Think about what it's going to be like for you to be in the kingdom, helping other people, to be with Jesus Christ and the Father. What a wonderful time. What's something that is so awesome to think about. And not focus on what's going on around us. Take time to fast, not just on the Day of Atonement. Fasting is a wonderful tool to get close to God. You know, his disciples told him, he says, why don't you fast? And Christ says, because, well, when the bridegrooms are with the bride, when the bridesmen are with the bridegroom, there's no need for them to fast because they're already close enough to him. Christ was right there with his disciples. And when we fast, we're the same way. And then we get on the same page with God and he shows us the way we need to go. Fundamental number 5 is keeping his commandments. Not just 1 or 2 or 3, all of them. Again, we learned about what it was like to go through all that with the example of the diagram. Attending weekly Sabbaths if we can. What a wonderful opportunity we have to meet with God's people every week. And I'll be honest with you, there's times where I don't want to go to church. I'm tired or I had a bad week or something happened. But you know what? When I go to church, it's not so much for me to go and listen to the message, which I hope you're listening today. But it's to encourage one another, to be encouraged. You know, I remember one time my wife and I went to church. We didn't want to go, and we didn't even make it into the building. And there was somebody outside who just poured their heart out to us. And they needed that. They needed to be encouraged. And you know what? By the time I got into the church building, I'm like, let's go. I'm ready. They helped me. But I was helping them. Another way that we can do this is by keeping God's holy days. Keeping those, not just the weekly reminders and the Sabbaths, but the annual holy days. Because we're going to be coming up to a time here on the after the 8th day, by the time we get to Passover, of 6 months of cold weather, except for me, of course, I live in Florida. But you're more than welcome to come visit. But those 6 months sometimes could be very depressing. So make sure we stay focused on that. Continue your studies. Continue your thought process on what God's plan of salvation is for us. And then lastly, brethren, have a plan to be here next year. Have a plan to be here next year. Because as I look around the room, I see a lot of great people here. But this room would have never been able to hold us 25 years ago, would it? Those people, brethren, stopped running their race. Please don't let that happen to you. Point number 2. on how we can endure to the end. Ask God for help. Let's go to Philippians 4. Because this actually seems like a duh. I mean, come on, Sal. Like, we already know this. But, you know, sometimes I forget this. Like, I think I could do this by myself. I don't need any help. And again, I said this before. That's when I get in trouble. We heard this from Mr. Crow in yesterday's message, Philippians 4, verse 6. Verse 6 and 7. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and by supplication and with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Tell Him about it. I've got three beautiful children. One of them is here with me today. And I could tell you, as a father and now a grandfather of three, I love it when they come to me and ask me for stuff. I do. Don't always give them what they want, but verse 7 says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Again, that peace, that comfort to know that the track that we are all running on leads to a place that will last forever. You know, again, God tells us to ask Him, and God doesn't always give us what we want, does He? I wanted to go to the feast in Italy this year. But you know, I prayed about it before I came here, and God's answer was no. And I said, okay. And I'm here. And I'm so thankful I am. Because the week that I've had here with you and with everybody has been fantastic. Everybody's been so nice. Not that it would have not been nice in Italy, but God wanted me here. But we don't always give our kids, as I mentioned, what they want, or our grandkids, do we? Because, you know, my kids, they wanted to come up to me every 5 minutes and ask me for a piece of candy, they'd be running all over the place, you know, bouncing off the walls. But, you know, God's the same way. He knows what's best for us. He knows sometimes the answer is no for a good reason. And we need to accept that. You could put in your notes Matthew 7:11. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who's in heaven give good things to those who ask? But we have to do our part and ask. In 2008, Derek Redmond was featured in a Visa advertisement commercial for the 1992 Olympic Games. The advertisement highlighted the injury and emphasized the fact that both he and his father finished dead last, but that they finished their race. Brethren, I look forward to finishing my race. I look forward to the whole world finishing their race as well. And when it's all said and done, and when we've run our race, hearing those words, well done, good and faithful servant, will confirm that we truly did endure to the end. I have a short video to show, but I'd like to wish you all a very happy feast.
Tom Havon and Craig Massback back at Olympic Stadium in Barcelona, coming up to the men's 400-meter semifinals. Here are the lane assignments. Steve Lewis in lane 3. Top of the Wednesday's final. Steve Lewis is in lane 3. Alberto Hernandez out quickly in 4. Now down the backstretch.
Ismael on the left of the screen is running very, very quickly. And inside of Lewis, Sunday Bada of Nigeria.
And Derek Redmond of Great Britain has pulled up with an injury. Redmond is out.
Derek Redmond, the British record holder, and an important member of that British 4x400-meter relay team, as he doesn't want anybody to help him.
And it'll be Lewis to win in 44.50.
Look at this. He's going to try to finish his semifinal race. The British have a certain tradition of running, which you have to respect.
A bizarre finish to this first semifinal of the men's 400 meters. Derek Redmond of Great Britain pulled up with an injury
halfway down the back stretch. He's fighting off those trying to help him to finish the race in his lane. And now the pain too much. Swelling throughout Olympic Stadium as Redmond, with assistance this time, approaches the finish line he had wanted so desperately to reach. That is the Olympic spirit.